You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Those coming in online. Welcome to Frontline Worship Center Sunday morning. Also part of 24/7 week, Fire and Incense. We're just gathering to pray and worship throughout this week. So it's just awesome what God is doing and in the nations, in our region, locally, and also in our lives. So we just want to worship. We want to sing a hallelujah. We want to just lift up the Lord because He is worthy. Yes, Lord.
Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. We cry, oh. purchased by your blood. 'cause you paid the highest price. Oh, we sing worthy, we sing worthy, we sing holy is your name, holy is your name. All the nations declare.
Forevermore.
holy. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Ready or not, here I come. Nations will be swept up, souls will be won. Heard my people cry, someone come save us. Ready or not, here I come. Nations will be swept up, souls will be won. Heard my people cry, someone come save us. The earth is shaking.
Of the coming of the Lord. movement of your spirit like we've never seen before. And every eye will look and see the glory of the coming of the Lord. Tsunamis of revival now are crashing on the shores. A movement of your spirit like we've never seen before. And every eye will look and see the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Here comes another way.
Here comes another way.
Continue with worship here in just a minute, but I asked for permission to jump into communion here. I felt like the Lord wanted to do it in the middle of worship so that we can use it as an opportunity to propel further into it. And so as we're singing about revival, how many of you guys want revival in the earth? I know we sing about it because it sounds good, but how many of you guys are actually crying out for revival in the earth? How many of you guys know what that looks like? I think sometimes we get a little caught up in the terminology, but we don't necessarily fully grasp all the time what that means. And when we're crying out for revival, what we're actually crying out for is just His presence to be known in the earth. And sometimes that looks like signs and wonders and miracles, and other times that looks like being able to stand up and declare that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords while walking into a camp. While walking into something that does not look like what sometimes we think is revival. And yet God equips us for every one of those things, right? And so as we're going to continue to cry out for revival and we're going to pray, I want to read to you something in Hebrews. It's a passage that we're very familiar with. But when we're talking about communion, we're talking about this intimate connection with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? This isn't just somebody that is a friend, although he is. We're talking about this opportunity to connect with the very one who created everything. We're talking about an intimate connection with the Holy One, right? And so when we think about what that looks like, about the opportunity to enter into the presence of the Holy One, there should be this level of reverence. There should be a level of holy fear, right? Because we're not called to just casually enter into the presence of the King of Kings. But here's what we are called to do. It's in Hebrews, and I know you guys are familiar with this verse. In Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14, it says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. And it's this idea that we don't casually enter into the presence of God, but because of the blood of Jesus, we are able to boldly enter that place, right? So as we're going to jump into worship some more, I want to remind you all as we're taking communion, if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you have gone through that process of repenting of your sins and allowing the sacrifice that he made to wash you clean, you have an invitation to boldly enter the throne room of grace. And I love what it highlights at the end of that passage, because it recognizes in that passage, it recognizes that we're weak. It doesn't turn a blind eye to our faults at all. And sometimes the enemy comes to our camp, he comes to our doorstep, and he knocks on that door and he tries to convince us that we are undeserving of entering into that throne room. And yet it has nothing to do with your weaknesses and everything to do with the price that he paid so that you can boldly enter it. So if we are not going to fully engage, if we are not going to boldly enter the throne room of grace, we are doing the sacrifice of the cross a disservice, because that is our inheritance. That is what we are called to do as sons and daughters of the King, to boldly enter the throne room of grace. Amen? So we're going to take communion. We're going to step freshly into that process of allowing the blood of Jesus to cleanse us, so that we recognize that I can enter boldly into his throne room, not because of what I've done, but because I'm receiving the grace of the cross that allows me access to boldly enter. And so, Father, this morning, we're going to take this communion, Father, freshly recognizing who you are, freshly recognizing the sacrifice that you made at the cross. Holy Spirit, if there's something in my life that you want to wash, that you want to cleanse so that I can more freely enter into your presence, we give you full permission to do that this morning. Lord, that you would highlight those things, not for the sake of allowing shame, but for the purposes of allowing a cleansing to come. That we can be made fresh and new. Lord, that sacrifice that you made, you said to do this in remembrance. We remember, Father, the sacrifice that you made that allows us to boldly enter the throne room of grace. That we can stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Father, as we take this cup, as we take this bread, we remember, God, the sacrifice you made. And, Father, that would be used to propel us further into your presence, into a greater revelation of the worthiness of what, a greater revelation of what we do here, declaring that you are good, singing your praises, and worshiping our hearts out to the only one who is worthy of such praise. And so, Jesus, we ask that you would touch this time. Touch our hearts, God. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made. That we would connect deeply with your heart. And out of that would flow a sweet worship this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace. Boldly enter your presence. Father, that every one of us here this morning and watching online would boldly enter, not because of our own merit, not because of what we've done right, but because of the sacrifice that was made to give us access. Father, that we would never shy away from giving all that we are in our worship to you, the one who is worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, just allow that sweet presence to come and touch our hearts, Father, fresh and new. That the words that we cry out for, the very revival that is filling our songs and filling our mouths, Lord, would be present in our hearts. That we would carry that revival everywhere we go. And that we would step into a fresh place, a fresh understanding, Father, that this is not just church. It's boldly entering the presence, the throne room of grace. Boldly entering into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one that is so holy that when people of the Old Testament would just touch the ark, they would fall down and die. And yet that very same presence, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, now says to boldly enter. There is such reverence that comes that we read throughout the Old Testament, Lord, the holiness of God, the process of just being able to stand in the Holy of Holies took years of service. And now, God, because of what Jesus did at the cross, the veil is torn and you give us all access to freely step into that same Holy of Holies because of the blood that washed us clean. Father, that we would step into that with everything that we have today. And we would give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you today. We worship you today, Lord.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. So we praise the Lord. So for this 20-second clip, we praise the Lord fully. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Okay, less than 20. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ashley's going to share something from yesterday and this weekend that just ties right in with praising the Lord and ties right in with what Lawrence was sharing, which ties right in with what we're doing today. We're worshiping the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We worship you today with Jesus.
Yes. So, as you all probably know, yesterday was H Clubs. And it was an awesome time. We actually, Peter and I got to go out inviting beforehand and just being able to be expectant for what the Lord was going to do. On Friday night, there was actually, with our Daniel class and Lighthouse Prayer, just a release of the anointing to be able to see people saved. And so Pastor Mary Pat was sharing testimony that I actually had a chance to hear because I had volunteered to take them home from the airport. So she had released that to me and shared that with me of just the ease that she had in Phoenix of speaking to these people that the Lord had just brought to her. And just being able to see the connections there of what he was doing, of what he was stepping into. And she was able to release that, the gospel to them, and they got saved. So I'll let her share that because it's a great story. But just being able to then gain that release from Friday of like, this is who we're called to be. She was speaking out, we're called to be harvesters. And in Daniel, it talks about Daniel's purpose in his heart. Daniel knew who he was. And so that really struck me of like recognizing like, I am a harvester. That is who I am. That is who I am called. That is who we are as a body here. We are called to be harvesters. And so taking that and going out into Skyline on Saturday, it was just a time of like expectancy of we were walking up in one building, knocking on all the doors. There was one person who answered who wasn't super excited about us being there. And so then we like just kept pressing in. And at the last door that we knocked on in this building, someone opened up the door. This gentleman, the picture here, Leo, he came and like Peter was asking him how he was doing and if he needed prayer for anything about his life. And as soon as that came out of Peter's mouth, he quickly came out in the hallway, shut the door, and just shared what was going on in his life. And there was a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot that he's going through. And he was just releasing this to us. And there was things that he was mentioning that he needed healing for. And so there, Peter stepped in and asked, like, can I pray for you for healing? And there was just a stirring in my heart of there's something else that needs to happen first. And Leo, when that was released, when Peter asked him, he was kind of like, well, I don't know if that's for me. Like, that would be great if that could happen. And so I could just sense like that unbelief there. And so I had the chance to share the testimony of the young girl at the Send whose brace was taken off and she's raising her wheelchair up in the air because she was healed. And just being able to release, she like looked at me, he's like, did that really happen? I was like, yeah, like that's the God that I serve. And so being able just to release that to him and seeing that, and then I took it to the next place because the Lord was just sharing, like, he needs to be saved. And so being able then to speak into his life of, like, he had gone to church when he was younger, but recognizing, like, when we step into a relationship with Jesus and we know him, then we're a new creation. Our old desires are put away. Our old nature, our sinful nature is gone because we're stepping into the new creation and our new desires that Jesus is giving us. And so I had asked him, I was like, is this something that you want to do today? And he's like, yeah. I was like, all right. So we're standing in the hallways of his building and just had him repeat after me and just declaring who he was, of putting away the old desires, the old nature, and stepping into being the new creation. And Peter had shared afterwards, when he spoke out the words new creation, his eyes just lit up, of just like recognizing, like, I don't have to be who I was. Like, I can be a new person. And so, like, it was so incredible. Like, afterwards, I was like, so how are you feeling? He's like, I felt that in here. And just like, I was like, yeah, that's Jesus. And just being able, like, to see his heart, we spent more time just talking with him. And then we were getting ready to leave for H Clubs. And we were like, he had a son. So we were like, I don't know if you can leave your son, but you're welcome to come join us at H Clubs down at the drop-in center. And he's like, okay. And he had to go do a couple of things. And so Peter and I left. And we were like, all right, Lord, bring him down. And so, like, a minute later, I see him walking down the street. And I'm like, here comes Leo. So he got to join us for H Clubs then, and just be able to just release more into his life, to just encourage him and strengthen him. So it was just a really incredible to see the way that when we're expectant and we're stepping into what the Lord has released and that anointing that has been released in this body, like, we can expect it to happen. We don't have to go out and get discouraged when people aren't answering their door or want to get us out of their face as soon as possible. But there are still those, like, the diamonds that the Lord is releasing and calling to us. And so just another one of the verses that got on my heart this morning was Matthew 9:37-38. And again, it's a very common verse that we know, but in the Passion Translation it says, the harvest is ripe and huge, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain. And so I know that's been a release in this house. We've been praying it. It's on our heart. But the thing that was hitting me today is that's also a release to us. We are the harvesters. We have to go out. We have to be expectant. We have to step in to see what the Lord is going to do. And so just being able to release that to you all today of, like, the Lord is doing it. Revival is here. We're calling it in. This stepping out and doing this is revival. It's bringing the revival in. It's bringing the knowledge of the kingdom of God here on earth. And just being able to release that and being able to share that with each person, like, there's so much more. So the other invitation I want to give is every Saturday is H Clubs, and we'll be out before 3:30. So we got there at like 2:30 yesterday. So you are welcome to come see me. I would love to have you come join me and go out and just see a change in this neighborhood in Skyline, but then also in each of our communities around.
Lord, and this morning in prayer, the prayer team that we had, we, you know, believed that for one thing that rain was coming down fresh upon this land, but then, you know, I saw a wave of revival coming into the church, and so we prayed that out, that, you know, God would just truly bring that in, and that every just every hindrance to receiving that would be broken, that the full revival and the full power of God's Spirit would come in this church and would come across the land and then come across the nations. And so, you know, more Lord in Jesus' name.
I just want to thank God for these testimonies. Thank you, Lord, because it's very stirring for each one of us to be able to say, I can do that. I can step in. I'm not Ashley. I'm not Denny, but I can do that. I can step in. I can step in. Sometimes we hear, oh my goodness, if there's any tension or you feel a little nervous, it can't be the Lord, so don't do that. That's a downright lie. So don't receive that. Just step in and take a step, like you're going into a pool. Speaking of pool, I will share something here, but I want to highlight Cynthia and what she's putting together, what she put together yesterday for the children as part of what we're doing for 24/7 prayer and worship here. I just kind of wandered back there last night, and there's some really cool tables. I think about three tables, Sin, back there for kids, or four? Three? And so you want to take advantage of that. So during these 24/7 days, which is 24/7, it's open all the time. So not during nap time or sleeping, but you can come. You can bring your children. You can come. So let's encourage each other to do that, because there's some very, very wonderful things that they can step into that helps them take ownership of who the Lord sees them to be, because we're all harvesters. And sometimes people say, well, you know, there's some who just plant and some who just water and a little bit, and then some who just come in and pick them off there. And there's some truth to that. But there's also a hidden fear, possibly, for some thinking, well, I'm not a harvester, and I'm going to be over here, and I might be able to just walk in God's presence and smile, and I stop there. That's a good thing. We love to carry his presence wherever we are. But if we are given eyes to see, which we ask for the Lord to give us, eyes to see and ears to hear what God's thinking and what God sees right around us, we can just step in and take another closer look and see what God will do, and he will accelerate. He will take your faith. He will take your desire. He'll take your purpose and heart, and he'll use it in a powerful way. So, Father, I just thank you. Let's just raise our hands to heaven. Father, I thank you for this crew in here of harvesters, and I thank you, Father, that you are the one that gives them desire to say, use me, Lord, to my fullest. Can you say that? Use me, Lord, to my fullest. I will walk without fear and take steps I've never taken before. I will see the dead raised. I will see the sick healed. I will see the demon possessed free. And I will see those who need to be saved, saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's no small impartation. But speaking of impartations, there was a powerful one on Friday night, as Ashley said, because we had the Daniel teaching, which was very loaded. So if you're part of that class, I really encourage you to keep coming, number one. And number two, if you couldn't make it on Friday, I encourage you to watch, not just listen, but watch the teaching, because it was really bold and strong and filled with all kinds of fire. And then it just moved right into prayer. So it was about an hour and a half of the teaching impartation, and then it moved into the prayer that followed that. And it was very strong. It was very powerful. So I just encourage you to do that, and don't shrink back from that because it's summer or you're busy or whatever. Be part of what we're doing so that we can encourage one another. Amen? So I want to tell you briefly, I'm not going to go into deep reasons, and you know, a lot of this is more for some specific time of teaching, but I'm going to just give you a quick highlight. But one of the things involved in, you know, our family visit after the send was going out to Phoenix, and we were able to be with our family, which was wonderful. But I had the opportunity in an afternoon to have pool ministry, which was very fun. But I was purposed in my heart, just to give you an example. You're not Pastor Mary Pat. I'm not you. But I'm telling you, when I'm going and doing something, I'm not thinking, oh, I'm Pastor Mary Pat. I'm thinking, Jesus, help me. Just show you wherever I am. Okay? And so that's what happened. And that's what was going on when I was at this pool. And I was able to have the eyes of Jesus, because I asked him, give me your eyes. But this is before I got there. So before you get in the car and you're on your way to Walmart, before you go to Giant Eagle to buy food for your family, Jesus, give me eyes to see, okay? And then when you're in the car or in the vehicle or you're walking or whatever, it's germinating inside of you. Jesus, I need your eyes. This is not First Friday. This is real life living. This is what I do. This is who I am, okay? This is what I do. This is who I am. So anyway, that's what I do. And that's who I am. So that's what I was doing, even going to take a quick dip in a pool. So when I'm thinking about that, it's like, Lord, it's on my heart. When I'm up in the morning looking at a place where, you know, this is different because I'm out in Phoenix and I'm out at a place where you can eat food. And I'm looking around, looking like, whoa, Lord, There's people here. Yes, because that's what this is about. It's all about people. As we worship the Lord, then we go love people. Simple. Worship the Lord, go love people. So in this one morning, before I actually got to the pool, I saw this guy, and the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge just means Holy Spirit spoke to me. That's all that is. We make such a big deal out of it. Honestly, Holy Spirit said, hey, that guy just got out of prison, because I was in tune with the Lord. And they're words of knowledge. They're words he's giving me, and it's knowledge I didn't have. That's what that is. So if you make it simple, you can step in and hear the Holy Spirit talking to you all the time. And there is gifting there for sure that kicks into higher gear. But I'm saying that it's just Holy Spirit speaking, telling you. So he told me this young man had just been released from prison. He had a look like that in terms of, wow, he looked a little maybe disheveled. Life wasn't typical. But that wasn't what it was. It was the Holy Spirit. So anyway, later in the day, his father wheeled in a wheelchair to actually come to the pool and do something there. And so I was in the pool, and I was talking to him because I have eyes to see and ears to hear. And so long story short, he was the father, obviously, of the guy I'm telling you who was from prison, and I was able to minister very effectively to him for a good amount of time. And then I went back up, you know, out of the pool, and then came back down, and I took a look at what was going on, and I was prepared in my heart for what could happen here, but I only had a short time. And so I was asking Holy Spirit, there's only two people in here, and I want to do a few laps, so that would be great too. But there are two people. Are these the two people that you want me to share with and be directly involved with? And I was waiting for him to tell me. And one way that he told me is that as I was considering going to one, I turned to take my sandals off or whatever, and he dove in the pool. I went, oh, okay, that's not the one. Thank you, Lord. How about this one? Is this the one right here? But I was ready and willing. If you're going to tell me and give me a word of knowledge, yes. But he didn't do that. He didn't give me a word of knowledge. He didn't speak to me. But through what he organized, she got up and left. So I would thought, okay, Lord, I need to be somewhere in a few minutes, about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. So I started walking, and as I'm walking out of the gate, it was so amazing, these people walked in. I mean, literally, you know, within feet of walking into the gate, and I looked at them, they looked at me, and one of them had like an old-fashioned, kind of a jagged cross on the front, and I said, hey. I looked right at him, and I said, hey, nice shirt. I said, do you know Jesus? It wasn't, how long have you been here? Can I talk to you? Do you have a minute? I've got a track. You know, none of that. None. I just said, do you know Jesus? I was taken back a little bit. But I was filled with Jesus, filled with purpose, filled with desire. Purpose and desire, because I'd spent time with the King about people. I'd already worshiped him, and then it was about people. Worship, people. Worship, and then people. And so after that, I was able to talk a little bit more with his fiance, who came in behind him, and he had some issues with the church. It was very short. I'm not going to go into the great detail because it's not the time for it. Very short, but she had been abused in a way that I'm not going to speak about with a mixed audience here. So she had been abused, and so I just said, oh, that didn't come from Jesus. And because those words were powerful, and because those words were anointed, and I was very sure that the Lord wanted to do something, it just broke right into their world. And I told them that they can come to know Jesus right now, as we're standing in like 98-degree sun. And I said, this can happen in a parking lot, it can happen here in a pool, it can happen in a, wherever we are, it can happen. And they said, they looked at each other and said, wow, yes. And there was a little dialogue there. So they got into the pool, and they invited me to come into the pool. It's such a picture. But I had to go. So I said, you know what, I am going to lead you here, and I don't have a script. And I led them in very thoroughly in a powerful prayer And both of them gave their whole lives to Jesus. And they were saved on the spot in the pool. Yeah, it wasn't hard. But you think, well, that's you. That's what you do. I believe that's what we can do. We can do. When you raised your hand and you said, Lord, use me, you can step in. You can do these things. You just purpose in your heart beforehand. You may need to be praying in your car before you get to Walmart. And you may need to be doing something else and get rid of any fear or anxiety. But the Lord is saying, go get them. That's revival. Go get them. Go get them. And don't limit God, saying, well, you know, maybe we need to go through a lot of deliverance beforehand. The Lord, the power of God unto salvation is there to be able to bring people into a place of being a new creature in Christ. Immediately. Don't let anybody fool you. Here I am, send me. You can do this. You could leave here today. You could go to Starbucks or somewhere, get your coffee or whatever, and you can go right into this. That's what Ashley did. We spent a lot of time coming back from the airport on Thursday night, telling her all kinds of crazy things, and it was so fun. And then she came to the Daniel class. There was a building, and it was powerful. And then there was prayer, and it was powerful. And then she was more encouraged, I guess, to go and do the same thing. And there was an impartation there, and you could see the results. So take that upon yourself and just target the lost. Bring in my lost sheep. Bring in my lost bride. You can do this. And if you get shot down or someone walks away, okay. All right. I prayed for many, 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 many blind people before anybody ever saw. And once they started seeing, it was like, wow, okay. I don't know why it took so long, but it did. It took a year or whatever. And then people started getting healed all the time of blindness. Sometimes we think, well, let's just pray for healing. That's what Todd White does, and then it will lead into the gospel. What if we just lead right into the gospel and pray for healing as the Lord leads? You're not Todd White. You're you. Take the gospel and walk it out, and the gospel will back you up. And I pray for people who are sick. Knock on the door. Go to Skyline. All of that, you know, don't think I don't do that. But don't follow a formula for yourself, okay? If you're at a school or you're a teacher or you're a doctor or whatever you do, or you stay at home with the kids, whatever you do, you all see people. And they're on their way to hell if they don't know Jesus. Think that way, and God will give you more fire. Release more fire. That's the fire you want. You want to see revival in the way that we heard this morning? Step out to get people born again. It's really that simple. That is revival. And that's carrying, as Lawrence said, the presence of God wherever you go. The presence of God wherever you go leads to something. It leads to action. Don't wait for a wave to come in. You are the wave right now. And this wave is coming, but you're forerunners for that. Amen? Amen. Be encouraged today. Children, you are released, and Pastor Bill has a message.
Lots of excitement back there. There's a lot of excitement in here too, right? Okay, good. That's what we need. Excitement in the spirit. Father, we give you praise. We love you. We worship you. We come into a new season with you, Lord. A season of such change in each one of us that we will be so dramatically different and love Jesus so much more that we will grow close to him and close to his heart. Yes, Lord. And then we will be witnesses for you. We will speak to people. We will have that confidence because it can only come by being close to you. Lord, we can't make a rule for ourselves to follow it. We must be in relationship with you. And then we start sharing. And then we start caring about people. Yes, Lord. Lead us to that revelation. Let it go deep into our hearts, Father. And Lord, we'll learn even today as you teach us from your word, God, of a harvester that didn't know she was a harvester. Yes, God. Yes, God. We give you praise that you can do that in us. Change us. Lord, change us from our own preferences. Yes, Lord. To prefer you and to prefer others. Yes, Lord. We receive that today. We're blessed by that today. Drive it home in our hearts, Lord, with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here it is. Woman at the well. It's what we're going to be talking about. But it's the rest of the story. Most of us know John 4, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. We're going to talk about the rest of the story with this woman. We've been talking in a series about encounter, about pressing into the heart of Jesus. We talked about the Syrophoenician woman, the 10 lepers, the woman who touched the hem of his garment, Mary at the wedding of Cana. We've been talking about these individual encounters because that's what we're seeking. You want boldness in the throne room? Have an encounter with Jesus. You want boldness on the streets to share the Lord with people? Have an encounter with Jesus. And suddenly, you're a firebrand. Suddenly, you're transformed into a person you don't even recognize when you look in the mirror. A person with such joy, a person with such fervor for other people. It's not all about us, is it? When we have encounters with Jesus, it ends up being about helping other people because he pulls us out of our own stuff so that we're free enough to help other people. So these had encounters, and as you know, there are many in the Bible, many encounters, and we learn from each one of them. If you think about the Syrophoenician woman, she had a redeeming happening in her life. She was redeemed from being rejected by society, redeemed from not measuring up. She was transformed from that. Any shame that she felt, any rejection that she felt, Jesus redeemed it right out of her. The 10 lepers, they were out of the flow of society, always put to the side. People couldn't even relate to them because of a condition in their body. And Jesus showed them how he was their high priest, at least one of them, that understood that if I worship Jesus as high priest, the Old Testament passes away and the New Testament has come. The woman who touched the hem of his garment had 12 years of bleeding, which was the worst condition that someone could even fathom, that they would be out of society because of a condition in their body that was offensive to other people. And so she couldn't go in and worship. She couldn't be around people easily. This condition needed the healing of Jesus, and we know what happened. He redeemed the whole thing. He turned it all around. Mary at the wedding of Cana, she wanted the future to come into the now. How is that going to happen when Jesus says, it's not my time? Woman, it's not my time. He said no to his mother. He said no to the one that gave him birth along with the Holy Spirit. But it didn't matter. Her heart knew he couldn't wait to release miracles on the earth. And it was his time. It was his time. And how that all works in the Spirit, with the Father, how they could say that to Mary, how he could say that to Mary, say a no, and it turned into a yes. It just shows how much he cares about us pressing in to his heart. No's become yeses in the heart of God when we're pressing in. And it's incredible that all of these people were redeemed in their situations. What's that mean for us? Same thing. Whatever situation we're in, it can be redeemed to a better place. That's what he does, is he redeems. There's a word in the Hebrew, I'm looking for it, searching for it here. Goel, redeemer, and often defender is the way it is translated. Goel, G-O, apostrophe E-L. The redeemer, the defender. What does a redeemer defender do? He wins back, he buys back, he repurchases what belongs to him or someone else. What is redemption? You're won back, you're brought back, you're repurchased. You come back into connection with Holy God. We're born, we're made in the mother's womb and born because of God's plan, and then he's constantly calling us home. Come home to my heart. Come home to the Redeemer. I can redeem everything in your life. Just come to me. Come to me. Come to me. He calls us home, and those of us that respond to that, we get the full relationship of redemption, don't we? We have much more redemption available than we're taking advantage of. Isn't that true? And some of these people found that out as they pressed into the heart of Jesus. They learned as they pressed in. We're going to talk about someone today that Jesus pressed into them. Does that ever happen? Where he goes and finds the lost lamb and takes the lost lamb into his arms. Of course, both happen. We can press into his heart, but he's also pressing towards us. His heart is pressing towards our heart. He's seeking us out. He's offering to us today. He wants to communicate with us on a deeper level today, doesn't he? He wants us to carry that presence of the Lord in a closer and deeper way. He can't wait for us to learn new things. He's a father. He wants to teach us his children. It's not just a nice picture that works on a, you know, a pendant or, you know, somewhere on the wall. It works in life. He wants to redeem us to a place we've never been. He does it with reconciling love. He forgives. He restores. He empowers. He never quits on us. We've heard testimonies of people that, you know, follow the Lord, then they fall away, then he redeems them back to their true destiny. There are some that we know that have lost their way. They are not following the destiny that Jesus wants. We see that. We're grieved. Don't let it happen to any of us. We need to stay close to Jesus that it doesn't happen to us, that we fall away, we get confused, we go into the tall grass again after he rescued us from it. We want to stay on the beam and not let any voices, whether it be from the enemy, the world, or those that appeal to our flesh. Friends often appeal to our flesh, don't they? Don't they? Because we want to look good to our friends, sometimes our relatives. We want to look good to our relatives. So we don't want to get too crazy with this Jesus stuff. Or we say, you know, we start listening to them and they water us down without us even knowing it. We've got to go after him with a radical heart so that he can redeem us to the place he wants to redeem us to. Most of us are just on our way. to being fully redeemed. I said, most of us are just on our way to being fully redeemed. We're just in process. Think of what the years ahead are going to look like. Do you fear those years, or are you looking forward to what God's going to do in us, through us, what he's going to do is and on our personal mission for him? Could be incredible. And the people in our family that will be affected because it's under the household. Do you believe that for your family? Under the household. It's not just about us, but we can be the pioneers for redemption for our household. It might be someone we're married to. It might be someone that gave us birth, that we want them redeemed into the plan of God, into the full destiny of God. And it's never too late, is it? Jesus is the Redeemer, and we need redemption from sin and a sin nature, sickness and disease. We need redemption from emotional pain and debilitating distress, including all forms of abuse by others. We need redemption from loneliness, rejection, orphan heart, orphan thinking, confusion, fear, anger, pride, selfishness, building our own little kingdom. We need redemption from soulishness, living with the soul in charge rather than our spirit responding to Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that for a moment. There are things inside our soul that scream out, I need this. And we think it's going to be solved by a little more ice cream, or a little more fun, or a little more of this, or a little more of that, or another person. They're going to solve that inside of us. That soulishness, mind, will, and emotion, they constantly scream because they selfishly want their needs to be met. But we need to let our spirit rise up and intertwine with Holy Spirit, and that's how the soul takes a lower place. The soul needs to bow to the spirit. Most people get that mixed up even in the body of Christ. They want to look good when they get a chance to be on stage. They want to look good when they're leading worship. It's more about the soul than the spirit responding to Holy Spirit often. And it ends up with ministries being affected by leaders falling because they were never really after the heart of God in the first place, or they fell from a place where they were after the heart of God and they started listening to the voices. Oh, you're cool. You get to hang out with this person and that person, and they're coming from Hollywood to be with you, and they're joining your ministry, and you know this person and that person. You're playing golf with this leader and that leader, and suddenly they think that they're greater than what God is doing inside of them, and they start looking for other goals, other things that are building their own little kingdom, not the kingdom of God. We're not going to fall into that, are we? Because we're going to sharpen one another. We're a close enough family in this tribe that we can sharpen one another so that none of us have to fall if we remain open to the redemption that God has for us. And it has to do with person to person, doesn't it? Hey, not so sure you should be talking like that about the leadership. Oh, I'm not so sure you should be talking like that about your fellow believer. Have we said that to someone to sharpen them? We can do that in this body because we love one another. We don't have to be condemning. We don't have to shame anyone. Let's just call each other to the standard that God wants, a holy standard that God wants, and value the people in this fellowship and value the ones that we connect with in Canton, the leaders there, the leaders overseas, and the people they represent. Wow, what a privilege. Instead of some of the things that we could step into and feel good about it. Oh, I built a great case against someone. It's not so great a case if you're building it against someone. God will take care of that. God will take care of their life. if you need to challenge them in a loving way, fine, but don't talk about them behind their back. There are things in the Bible about that, and that won't lead you to redemption or them to redemption. We need to make the point that redemption defeats religion every time. If there's an arm wrestling match and it's redemption against religion, religion falls, fails, doesn't push the hand back of redemption. Redemption always, always defeats religion. So how do we step into that redemption of Jesus? Just everything that we shared this morning. Worship. We show God we want to be close to Him. We talk to Him. We listen to Him. We listen to His voice. We won't have time to be busybodies going around talking about people, gossiping about people, tearing them down. We will be sitting with Jesus. And what's His conversation about those very same people? I want to redeem their life to a higher place. They may be doing some things that are off, but I want to redeem their life to a higher place. I want to redeem your life, Bill, to a higher place. He's about that for each of us. Goel, He's our Redeemer. He's our Defender. And He helps us with all the draw of the soulishness, all the draw of the world, all the draw of the flesh. In the book of Ruth, we probably should have Rachel come up and explain the book of Ruth to us. But there's the Kinsman Redeemer. Even in the book of Ruth, it's explaining Jesus and what kind of Redeemer He is for us. So if you want to read about the Kinsman Redeemer, that's the book of Ruth. What's required for redemption to be achieved from the Redeemer? Humility and repentance every time. If you find yourself, you know, trying to build yourself up to be some kind of a superstar Christian or something else, you're headed in the wrong direction. You should go down, bow before Jesus, humble yourself, repent of things that you notice in your life that don't line up with the heart of Jesus, that don't line up with redemption for people or redemption for yourself, and walk away from those things under the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't do it because of rules and regulations. Do it because of relationship so close with Holy Spirit, you can't help but walk away from the things that don't please Him. Don't please Him. Sometimes it's preferences we think God has a stamp of approval on that we just step into. Well, of course God understands about this. You know, He's a very understanding. Yeah, He's very understanding. But if you ask Him, is this a preference I should have or I should exert at this time? He will tell us, well, you can do it, but My grace isn't on it. My favor isn't on it. If this is the preference you want, you can do it. It's not in and of itself sinful even. But have you asked Me what I think? And when we ask Him, often He leads us away from preferences that we have because they are hidden ways of agreeing with our flesh. It's easier. Probably if it's so easy and everything's so easy, the decisions we make so easy, we may not be asking God what He thinks. We're just following our preferences around. I know many people that say, wow, yeah, God led me and God led me to do this and God led me to do that and God led me and led me and led me. But when they say how He led them, well, I prayed. I prayed about it. That's how He led me. No, He leads you by the answers you get from Him. How you hear Him, not just because you prayed. And so many people are living their life putting their own stamp of approval on the decisions that they make, and they aren't really connecting with God's heart on it. He can't be the full Redeemer He wants to be for them. So let's continue to ask him about the decisions in our life and hear from him as well, because he's more than willing to let us know. And part of it is counsel from those that are a little farther down the road in the spirit, isn't it? Getting some counsel on certain things, certain decisions. It's not every decision. You know, counsel doesn't have to tell you what color of shoes to wear in the morning. But they might want to, you know, you might be able to benefit from their counsel if it's talking about who to marry. Oh, well, that's my decision. Sure it is. But hearing from those that have gone before you and made those decisions and seen the fruit of those decisions, it's incredibly helpful. If you can get over, again, pride, if you can get over, this is my own little kingdom, I don't need other people speaking into it, I'll ask my friends. They're the same as me. They know best because they're just like me. Those are probably not the people to base all your decisions on if they're at the same maturity level in the spirit as you are. Just saying. Not a strong point, but just saying that. So he redeems sickness into healing, doesn't he? He can't wait to exert Jehovah Rapha, his name, and redeem sickness into healing. So if you have a condition in your body, we want to know about it. We want to pray with you for it. We want to see it go. We want to see it leave and take off. He redeems death in the resurrection. So we can't lose. If we go out there and we witness to someone and we're martyred for it, we can't lose. We still end up with Jesus. So what are we afraid of in sharing with other people? We've had that challenge already today, though. I don't need to go into that. Let's go to John 4. This is the Samaritan woman, and I haven't even gotten to her yet. We've been talking about redemption, and this is a beautiful story of redemption. In fact, this is the rest of the story of the Samaritan woman. John 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." That's not in her quote. That's explanation there from the author. "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he had talked with a woman. Yet no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have no food to eat of which you do. I have a food to eat which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields. Look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. Awesome. Love to read this over and over again, don't you? It's just so much in here. So much. So the first thing is, back on verse 4, he needed to go through Samaria. Well, geographically, that's true. From Galilee to Judea, you kind of go through Samaria. But often, Jews would avoid even going that direct route. They would go around to another part of Jewish land in order not to go into the land of the Samaritans. That's how much they avoided people that they didn't particularly agree with or people that were different than them. But Jesus, geographically, yes, it was pretty much a straight shot for where he wanted to go. But he also intentionally went through Samaria because it was the desire of his heart. He wanted to meet this one person at a well a long distance from where he started. One person. So there she was. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was there before she showed up. He sits there, wearied from his journey. It's about the sixth hour, so it's about noon. and he's sitting there waiting for the one person that he will speak to and will witness to an entire community with the encounter that she's going to have. So he speaks to her first. Now keep in mind, rabbis are not supposed to speak with women, especially Samaritan women. They're the outcasts. They were Samaritan, not fully Jewish. They were half-breeds because in their history, they intermarried with the Assyrians when the Assyrians were a people group that was pretty strong back in their history. And so they married in. You're supposed to kind of marry Jew to Jew. And they didn't do that. So they would have commerce with Jews, business. They would speak to them kind of in passing. But for the most part, they would not sit down for a meal and certainly not be drinking from the same cup, drinking from the same pail that was going to go down into the well. This is an unusual request for this woman, give me a drink. Now, probably in that day, it wouldn't be too unusual for a man to say to a woman, give me a drink. And by the way, you do all the work and you pull it up out of the well and give me a drink if it was Jew to Jew. But in this case, it's a man speaking to a Samaritan woman, and even she sees that it's unusual. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus has engaged her now. She's curious. She's wondering, what is going on here? Who is this guy telling me to give him a drink? And I know he's Jewish and I'm Samaritan. This shouldn't even be happening. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He changes it from the natural to the spiritual very quickly. Jesus did this all the time with people, didn't he? You must be born again, he says to Nicodemus. Nicodemus thought he was talking about being born into this world. Jesus was talking about him being born of the Spirit. He's going to change the conversation from the natural to the supernatural. And he did that with this woman. Living water is brought into the picture. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? She's still natural, thinking naturally. Living water? You don't even have a pail. You don't have anything to draw up from the well. She's still thinking the well is going to provide the living water. And he is going to reveal it's him. He is the living water. He can always give living water. She talks very naturally. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? She's looking back to the Old Testament, to a very high